I needed to not skate by for once in my life, and they didn't let me.
At the end of the day, if you know that you don't feel good about the job, you gotta be able to leave that behind.
They just kept asking me to come back, and I truly love Milwaukee and Southeast Wisconsin.
It's always great to be at WTMJ.
This is WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome to WTMJ Conversations. I'm your host, Libby Collins. Alderman Lamont Westmoreland represents the 5th District, and he also holds a position of Vice Chair of the Public Works Committee. He's on the Judiciary and Legislative Committee. He's also a member of the Public Safety and Health Committee. He's Commissioner of the Redevelopment Authority of the City of Milwaukee and a Visit Milwaukee board member. And Alderman, when do you sleep?
I'm not sure I do. I think I just closed my eyes for a little bit.
I think you must, because you are one busy person. Let's talk a little bit about you background-wise, because you grew up right here in the area. I mean, you're a hometown guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, born and raised in Milwaukee. You know, I lived in Milwaukee, so I can say that I was raised by Milwaukee and Wauwatosa. I was a Chapter 220 kid, you know, the busing program at the time bused me and my brother to Wauwatosa. So I went to Wauwatosa Lincoln, Wauwatosa Longfellow, and graduated from Wauwatosa East. So I always say, like, you know, you get the best of both worlds. You live in Milwaukee. I mean, I know several people that I grew up with in Milwaukee that never really left the area. And I think it's a cool thing that that program came about, and it gave me an opportunity to interact with other people that look different, that are, you know, different cultures and different upbringings and backgrounds. Because, you know, when we get into the real life, there's all different types of people we have to learn how to coexist with. And, you know, it was cool that I was able to learn that at an early age and not struggle with it as an adult.
Did you compare yourself to some of the kids who didn't have that same opportunity and how they turned out versus the opportunities you received in life?
No, I know several people that have turned out great, whether they, you know, were part of that program or they stayed in Milwaukee.
People say you are outspoken.
Yes.
And I think you'd agree with that. Were you like that as a kid?
It might be an understatement. I've always had the reputation of being quiet. And that is, I think, me analyzing. Because when I open my mouth up, I don't want to open my mouth up about something I'm not properly informed. We got a lot of people that do that. They talk about things and have opinions on things that they're not properly informed on. So I analyze a lot. I listen a lot. So it may seem like I'm quiet. But when I speak, it's about something that's really important to me. And I think it's important for our community.
So when you were a kid, did you think someday I want to go into politics? I want to go into community leadership?
As a teenager, as a young adult, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Starting in high school, I worked at a bank. I worked at M&I Bank as a senior in high school. I went to school half day and I worked at the bank half day. And that grew into being a personal banker, which grew into being a mortgage lender. And I got burned out with that. The housing crisis, I think that was in 2007 or 2008. And that took me to nonprofit. And I worked at Hunger Task Force for some time. And I think that's where I found out that I wanted to serve people. With the Hunger Task Force and the work that we did there, you're making a difference in people's lives, not just by, you know, getting them food, but it's being an advocate for them, leading them to all the resources, helping them obtain those resources and helping them get over the hills and the hurdles and the hiccups along the way. I knew that I wanted to serve people. So I did that in Hunger Task Force. I got back into banking, which turned into me doing SBA lending. So I did lending for many small businesses in the area, but also countrywide. We went from $100,000 up to $5 million small business loans. And you know, that was still me advocating for people, helping people through the process, holding their hand through the process and helping them achieve their dream, whatever, you know, that business was. So, you know, I was proud of that work, got burned out with that. You know, if you go hard, you know, it's OK to burn out. I always say that if you go really hard, it's OK to burn out. So I burned out with that. I got back into retail banking and I was hired by U.S. Bank to oversee three of their branches for business banking. I was really excited about that opportunity. Then COVID hit and that kind of changed everything. And I was working from home, processing PPP loans, which is not what I was hired to do. I wasn't really happy with that. So then I started a business, and that was a painting business. I like to say professional coating services. It's a fancy word for a painting business. So we did commercial. We did real estate. Very successful at that. And I remember I was bidding a job, and the person I was bidding for, they had 620 on. And I heard breaking news that former alderwoman Nakia Dot was stepping down. And I lived in her district. You know, she was my representative on the common council. And at that time, that's what I wanted to do. So to answer your question, if this is something that I always wanted to do, not necessarily, but I knew I wanted to serve people. Over the years, you know, that developed into I would love to be on the council. But going back to 2018, Jim Bowl, former alderman, I really respected him. Nakia Dodd, I really respected her. And, you know, I think there are people out there that, you know, want these positions. They want to be elected. They want to be on the council. They want the title. But that's it. I had enough respect for both of them that I was not going to run against them because I thought they were doing a fine job. But you do have some out there that, regardless of who it is, if they're doing a fine job or not, they're going to run against because they want that title. So I didn't want to run against either of them, but when the opportunity came and the seat was open, that was the opportunity to jump in.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
Some people think that a council member's job is to be at City Hall. Of course, work is done at City Hall, but I like to be present in the district.
Lamont Westmoreland talks about a day in the life of a Milwaukee alderman.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome back. I'm Libby Collins. We're talking with 5th District Alderman Lamont Westmoreland.
I don't know if you've ever been asked this, but what's the day of a city council member, an alderman in Milwaukee like? What do you do?
I mean, what don't we do? There is no typical day. And some people think that a council member's job is to be at City Hall. Of course, work is done at City Hall, but I like to be present in the district. Every single business in the district I connect with. We have new business that just moved in down the street or here. I'm reaching out to them. I'm constantly checking in with my businesses to ask, how can I serve you? Business owners typically don't live in the district, though we do have some business owners that live in the district, but they're not voters. They can't vote for me. However, it's important that their business is there, it thrives, because those businesses are there for the district. You know, we want to make sure we continue to grow and provide multiple different types of businesses, you know, for constituents. So I'm constantly connecting with businesses. You know, I'm at block watch meetings. You know, I love to go to those and connect with, you know, neighbors, whether it's 3 people or, you know, 50 people. You know, it's the complaints that come in. Some of the complaints are not realistic. You know, some people just want to complain for the sake of complaining. And, you know, I always say, like, the constituents are the customers. Like, we all pay taxes. We all have expectations of city services. So I always say, whatever somebody's concerns are, they're my concerns. So I'm constantly talking. When you call my office, I want to answer the phone. If I can't get to it, my assistant Todd will answer the phone. But, you know, the rule we have in the office is that we're going to get back to the constituents that call us the same day. If we don't get to them the same day, it's no later than the next day. I think it's important that people's concerns are heard.
What is the greatest concern that you hear?
Probably reckless driving. Everyone's concerned about reckless driving. You know, I was having a conversation earlier. Another thing that I do is I drive the district. And unfortunately, like with our, for example, potholes, there's nobody that drives around and fills potholes. They just don't do that. So it's complaint driven. I think that's flawed. I think we need to do a better job of filling those potholes, especially if we know that this is a pothole we filled 50 times and it keeps coming back. We need to do a better job with that. However, every pothole that I personally come across, I report those potholes. So, you know, it's a lot of that. It's a lot of driving the district, seeing, you know, what's wrong, what's right. And I always tell my constituents that we do have 286 City where you can call, talk to the call center. I don't want my constituents talking to the call center. I want to talk to them. Because if you call the call center with an issue, sometimes I'll never hear about that issue. I need to know what the issues and the concerns are.
You're vice chair of the Public Works Committee.
Yes.
So you have some say about potholes in the city. Mm-hmm. Why aren't they filled? Why can't they keep up?
I'd say staffing level. A lot of people want to blame somebody. And I'm here to say that the conditions of our roads, which overall are terrible, there's not anyone that's currently on the council or, you know, not the current mayor, not the current commissioner of public works. Those aren't the people that we should be pointing the finger at and blaming. I mean, this is rooted back to the John Norquist days. When you talk about preventative maintenance of roads, those preventative maintenance plans were abandoned. And everybody that was there then, they're long gone, and you know, they leave us with the mess to deal with. The condition of the roads, it's no secret. This happens over years and years and years for lack of preventative maintenance, and here we are.
But does enough of the budget of the city go to things that people are really concerned about, like potholes and the condition of the streets?
So I was part of the budget of 2024, and now this current budget we have, part of that as well. And I've been one that's pushed up the allocation for roads. So obviously, we wish that we had enough money to do them all right now, right? And we don't. But I don't have the exact numbers, but I can say that each of those last two budgets, I was one of the ones that pushed for more money.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
Thankfully, I wasn't hurt. But people get killed.
Alderman Lamont Westmoreland talks about reckless driving in the city.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
I'm your host, Libby Collins. Let's return to our conversation with 5th District Alderman Lamont Westmoreland. You mentioned reckless driving.
Mm-hmm.
And you were actually a victim of it.
Yes. Thankfully, I wasn't hurt, but yes.
What happened?
I was actually driving back from my first physical therapy session. And this car was just riding me really close. You see in your rearview mirror, cars getting closer and closer and closer. And we're in the left lane. And I was slowing down because I'm turning left. And this car just kind of laid on the horn. And it didn't slow down. It switched lanes to get around me. But instead of getting fully clearing my vehicle, he sideswiped me. And he kept going. Thankfully, I wasn't hurt, but people get killed.
All right. Well, let's look forward, because you did say one of the most frequent calls you get is about reckless driving. And just here in the newsroom, I mean, we constantly are getting reports from MPD about this particular incident occurred. Why is it so widespread in the city that we see people driving totally erratically, too fast, not safe for conditions? What's going on out there in the streets?
It's terrorizing. They're terrorizing people. I think I'd be lying to you if I said I knew the answer. I think things that have contributed to that is during COVID, I remember you didn't have to take a road test to get your driver's license. You can have mom or dad or a guardian sign off on that. I think that was okay for some people, but others, you know, it didn't work out too well. But I think probably when we talk about what could be contributing factors, I'm not a fan of the rule or the law that once you're 18, you can just sign up and take a road test. I think regardless of your age, you should take driver's education.
But that costs money.
Yeah.
And not all the kids in the city have access to that.
It's something we've got to figure out. I think it should be part of the curriculum for every school in our state, not just here in Milwaukee. But schedule a road test at age 18, and you're good enough that day for the instructor to give you a passing grade and you get your driver's license. I think it's similar to going to sit in a classroom for 2 hours in front of a concealed carry gun instructor, and once that class is over, them handing you a certificate. You haven't gone to the range to shoot a gun. You don't even know firearm safety, but you have a concealed carry. So you have a lot of people that are carrying guns that don't know how to use the guns. Same thing with driving. You have a lot of people with driver's license that really don't know everything they know about how to drive. I think kids are very impressionable. I think a lot of the kids, the role models they look up to, they see how they drive. I mean, there are so many things. There are so many things. I think the lack of, this is not MPD's fault, but the lack of presence, the lack of patrol. I mean, there are so many contributing factors.
Still ahead on WTMJ Conversations.
I think there are a number of people that have unresolved trauma, or they've never dealt with the trauma. Regardless of what that trauma is, I think it results in stuff like this.
5th District Alderman Lamont Westmoreland talks about shootings on the streets of Milwaukee.
You You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
And I'm Libby Collins. Our guest today is 5th District Alderman Lamont Westmoreland. Not a weekend goes by where we don't have shootings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's endless. And it seems primarily it's young African American mm-hmm. men who are involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
Based on your conversations with constituents, why is there this concept that you can solve a problem by pulling out a gun?
I don't know. I don't have the answers. I think there are, you know, we always talk about there are deep-rooted issues, right, that cause people to act how they act. I think there are a number of people that have unresolved trauma or they've never dealt with the trauma. Regardless of what that trauma is, it's trauma that's unresolved, and I think it results in stuff like this.
Is that making excuses, though?
No, it's not making an excuse. It's saying that some people that act out have some sort of trauma. But should they be held accountable? Yes. Everything that happens, there's a reason why it happens. So I'd say that's a reason, not an excuse. Again, holding accountable is part of the programming. I think what we see is so many crimes happen. There's a situation now going on with a constituent, and she's having a hard time with her kid. And she's called the police on her kid, and the police arrest the kid, and then the kid's released in an hour. You know what I mean? So I think there are a lot of people out there that have been programmed that there are no consequences to my actions. And I think it starts at a young age. I'm going to say it. MPS has not done a good job with holding kids accountable. My kids went to MPS school, so it's not speaking on what I've heard. It's speaking on what I've experienced. So when you have kids that grow into young adults and they've never been held accountable for their actions, things can spiral out of control real fast.
There's a controversy with MPD about this facial recognition mm-hmm. technology. Do you think that employing it here in the city could help to make a difference with some of these shootings where we never seem to find out who did it?
Maybe, maybe not. I have not dug in deep enough.
Do you support it?
I need to know more. You know what I mean? So, I get asked the question all the time. Do you support this? Do you support that? And sometimes it's I don't know if I support it or not. I think these are the concerns. So it's MPD. These are my concerns. How do you combat those concerns? Because one thing that I've heard is with face recognition, that with darker skin, there can be inaccuracies. So that's concerning. I mean, I'd hate to be driving down the street and forcefully be arrested because I've been mistaken for someone else. But I think that could be something that, you know, there's a workaround or, you know, they could tweak something here or there. So I don't know if I support it or not, but I think it's something that definitely needs to be explored because when you talk about the lack of patrol, when you talk about the lack of manpower, we need to turn to other things to help.
Well, we touched on that a little earlier, and that is getting young men and women
mm-hmm.
who want to go into law enforcement.
Yep.
And it seems it's getting more and more difficult.
It's easy.
Yeah. How do you overcome that?
I don't know. And I had the conversation with somebody about this the other day. Obviously, there are bad cops out there. But guess what? There are bad older persons out there. There are bad teachers out there. There are bad everything out there. Obviously, you know, going back to like 2020, the whole George Floyd situation, obviously, when we talk about trauma, like people that watch that, that's trauma. Like you've got to address that trauma. But during that time, there were a lot of people that didn't like the police. They were against the police. I know several great law enforcement officers, but I just think that during that time, and I know some of them that quit during that time, but the memo that was out on police officers across this country was that they were bad people. And that's a stereotype. And I think that me being a black man, I think that blacks are the highest stereotyped group out there. But it, to me, was ironic that I felt like it was a lot of minorities that were doing the stereotyping that we don't like done to us. You know what I mean? So I didn't like that. I thought that was hypocritical during that time to box all of the law enforcement officers, lump them all together, so to speak. But honestly, I think that whole experience and time, I think that's why we have an issue with recruiting not just here in Milwaukee, but worldwide. I think that's when it started.
Well, it's not just recruiting, it's retention. You yourself said a lot of those police officers are leaving, many of whom are leaving for suburban police departments because it's just easier work in some smaller communities.
And safer.
And safer, yeah, than it is in the city of Milwaukee. How can the city change that and help the police officers we have know that not only are they supported, but that they're going to be safe when they're doing their job as well?
Burnout is real. An eye-opening experience that I had was I spent some time over in the call center, the dispatch area where they take the calls. So I sat with a dispatcher for probably 3 to 4 hours, and it was very, and I knew this already, but it was very eye-opening. You know, the majority of my district is patrolled by MPD District 7. So it was very eye-opening to see the map of the entire MPD District 7 and see two squad cars patrolling the entire MPD District 7 that has 100,000 citizens. It's very eye-opening. So I'm also concerned about, you talk about retention, I'm concerned about burnout too, which leads to lack of retention.
But there had to be more officers on duty than those two squads.
Yes.
But where were they?
In other districts. Every police department, you know, they have, you know, but obviously if something major happens, they don't stay in their districts. They could pull them. We weren't looking at other maps, but obviously I think some other areas, maybe they've got more manpower. You know what I mean? And they have more squads. But that day I was there to see that map and to see two, it's eye opening. And, you know, people talk about response time, and it is slow. But I'm here to say that MPD is doing a hell of a job, and they're doing the best that they can do. But also, I think we need to have these honest conversations because, you know, the two squads in the area of 100,000 citizens, that's not talked about enough, you know? And people are upset with the response times, and they deserve to be upset. But I just want to help them understand why it is the way it is. And, you know, sometimes there are conversations that are had, and it just makes it sound like everything's all peaches and cream. It's like, no. We need to have honest conversations so people really understand what's going on and why things are the way they are.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
If I'm being honest, I was irate. So the statement was very specific to what I was seeing, not stereotyping any race, any particular side of town.
Fifth District Alderman Lamont Westmoreland reveals if he regrets the words he used when talking about litter on the streets of Milwaukee.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome back to our conversation with 5th District Alderman Lamont Westmoreland. Let's talk about something you can do something about. Litter. You were in the middle of it here not too long ago when you brought up the condition of some of the city streets.
Yes. There was a statement that I put out.
I happen to have it right here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Go ahead and go for it.
You called out litter items like tumbleweave, black and mild wrappers, Milwaukee's best beer cans, and Hennessy bottles. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people felt those were triggering words.
Yes.
Did you do it deliberately?
And I'll tell you where this is stemmed. And, you know, I owned it at some. If people were offended, I own that. And I said, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't have worded it that way. But I'll tell you this, there's a particular part of my district that did a neighborhood clean. It was an elementary school. It was a Saturday and they cleaned up. You know, things were looking great. Monday, I was just doing my normal district drive through and I drove through there and it appeared that it never happened. So if I'm being honest, I was irate. So at that time, I pulled over and I started writing this statement. And the items that you described were the items I was looking at. So the statement was very specific to what I was seeing, not stereotyping any race, any particular side of town. I mean, if you look at that, it doesn't specify. But, you know, one thing that I always say is real connection, it doesn't come from polished answers. It comes from honest ones. And we talked about my background. We talked about working in finance. We talked about nonprofit. I'm not a polished politician. I'm just somebody here who's very passionate about my community, not just my district. You know, I always stress that. Obviously, I work for my district, but I work for the city as a whole, and I'm here to make things better. So what that was, it's raw emotion. Was it politically correct? Yes. Have I said other things that were politically correct? Yes. Will I do it again? Yes. What you're going to get from me, you're always going to get honest, raw truth. And sometimes it comes out and people are offended. But what it did is it started an honest conversation. Some people didn't like the delivery, but, you know, that's okay. Not everybody's going to like my delivery all the time. Not everybody's going to like me. But my message is I'm here for the betterment of the quality of life of Milwaukee, period.
I've heard people say you sound more like a Republican than a Democrat.
I've heard that.
Would you ever change parties?
I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican either. When I first started to run, that was probably the most frequent question I was asked. Most frequent question I asked is, what party do you belong to? And I asked everybody, why does that matter? You know, I'm one that believes that I wish that the two-party system did not exist. I think if the two-party system did not exist, there are a lot of people that would be in trouble because they wouldn't know what to do. There are several Democrats that vote for the Democratic candidate because they're the candidate. There are several Republicans that vote the other way because that's the candidate. But if you ask some of these people, like, you know, what do you like about them? What policy idea do you like? What have they accomplished, or what do they want to do that you love? They can't answer those questions. You know what I mean? So I think if we got rid of those things, the two-party political system just keeps people at odds. You know, whether you are blue, whether you're red, at the end of the day, like, people have to realize we are literally all in the same boat. We all want the same thing. You know, one thing that I don't like is you have people that are on this side of the aisle or that side of the aisle, or they have this belief or that belief. We have to do a better job of just listening to one another. Because I'll be honest, there have been times where I've got somebody that has a different opinion than me, a different belief than me. But it's like, if you shut up and listen, sometimes you can learn from that person. We're too close-minded. We're always slamming a door on people that, you know, don't look like us, that don't think like us. We got to keep those doors open, and we got to do more talking.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
I'm there to serve Republicans. I'm there to serve Democrats. Whatever type of person you are, whether you like me or not, I'm there to serve you.
Alderman Lamont Westmoreland addresses if he's a Democrat or Republican, and if he's being asked to run for higher office. And by whom?
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
I'm Libby Collins. Today's conversation is with 5th District Alderman Lamont Westmoreland. We started the conversation when I asked you if you were always outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the things that when you mention Alderman Lamont Westmoreland, mm-hmm. people say he is outspoken. I imagine at this point, there must be people who are saying, you've got to run for a higher office. You've got to think about what's next. You can't be an alderman forever. There are other positions. For example, somebody moved from one position and the mayor decided he wanted to run for a higher office in the state or the county, that might happen, which would then open the mayoral position. Or perhaps there are members of various parties, since you said you don't think of yourself as either. You're probably getting conversations and calls from Republicans and Democrats saying, hey, would you run for state legislature?
Right.
Would you think about running for Congress? Have you had those calls? And what are the future plans for you?
I always like to say I'm 41. I'm 41 years old.
You're a kid.
I'm a kid. My son will turn 20 next week, Saturday. And, you know, he just finished his sophomore year over at Marquette University. And we have this conversation about, like, how fast time moves. And it's cool to see your kids evolve. It's cool to see anybody evolve. But it's also sad. So what I strive to do is live in the moment. And no, that's not a political answer. You know, some politicians, they don't ever answer questions. They always kind of dance and tiptoe.
You haven't answered this question
right.
yet.
So that's the one thing I'm never going to do is dance and tiptoe. I'm going to look at you in your eyes and tell you what I think. What I consider it, I haven't really given it deep thought. Because, again, I'm just trying to focus on the now. I really think that...
Have you ruled it out?
No, I have not ruled it out. But I think sometimes elected officials can make mistakes. You know, getting in office, but, like, thinking like this is temporary. I look at this as the end all be all, because I think that's how you work your hardest. When you're here and you're looking at this as a stepping stone to get there, you're like 70% in and like 30% making future plans.
But it's not always a stepping stone. If you're being asked, courted by political operatives, mm-hmm. it's not a stepping stone. They really want you in those positions. Are you getting those calls?
Yes, I've gotten calls. But again, I'm here. I'm focused on giving the people of the 5th District that got me into office all I can give them. And I'm there to serve Republicans. I'm there to serve Democrats. I'm there to serve Black people, white people, Asian people, whatever type of person you are, whether you like me or not, I'm there to serve you. And that's what I'm focused on. You know, those people were gracious enough to give me the vote, and I've got to deliver from top to bottom. I don't care what it is. You know, like I said, the concerns of my constituents are the concerns of mine. But obviously, there are no districts that have district-specific issues. All the issues span most of Milwaukee. So when you talk about reckless driving, back in 2023, shortly after I was elected, they signed something into law that you could get your vehicle impounded if you're a reckless driver.
How's that working out for the city?
It's not working out. You can get your vehicle impounded if you're a reckless driver, but you have to be the owner of the vehicle and you have to be a repeat offender. And this is my very first time standing at a press conference. And they say, do you want to say anything? And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll say something. I've got the mayor there. All of these cameras, like there's like 10 cameras. My first time in front of cameras. And I very nicely and politely said, this is cute, but it ain't going to work. And you fast forward a year later, you know, having these conversations, being on the Public Safety and Health Committee and having conversation, dialogue with MPD. I don't remember the time frame, maybe a year, but they had zero impounds. So I authored a resolution, and the resolution is more of a zero tolerance thing. Like, if you're caught driving your vehicle reckless or driving a vehicle recklessly, we're going to impound the vehicle regardless if you own it or not. And if you're a first time offender or not, because I think if you're driving 100 miles an hour down Capitol Drive, it's not your first time. And if you're not caught, you're going to do it again. And if you are caught with these loose laws, you know, you're going to do it again. So this is more of a zero tolerance approach. You know, the mayor signed it. I think that was in October of 2003. So, you know, when you talk about what's the day in the life like of, I've gone to Madison to testify on this, like what we have now, because we need state law to change. So we can't change it here at the city level without the state law changing. So I've gone up there to testify by myself. I'm not afraid to stand by myself. Usually when I put statements out, I'm not circulating a statement and saying, hey, join this statement with me. No, these are my thoughts. And I'm on the island by myself, and I'm okay with that. Just like I want metal detectors at City Hall, I'm on the island by myself, and I'm okay with that. That's not going to stop me from fighting what happened at City Hall. It was a failure. I can say that as somebody that works inside of City Hall, we haven't had any lockdown drills on what to do.
You've never had a lockdown drill?
No. I can't speak for Zeidler. I can't speak for the 809 building. But it's just being there for 2 years and going through this whole experience. It needs help. The security plan needs help. And we wouldn't be the first city hall in the country to do that. Why have the ability for anybody to walk in and do what they want if we don't have to? And again, you talk about budget and, you know, obviously there's going to be a cost to this. But I always say, like, keeping somebody alive and preventing these tragedies, that's invaluable. And it has nothing to do with elected officials. It has everything to do because, you know, the 15 of us on the council and the mayor, we're not the only ones that make the city work. There are many important people down at that city hall complex, and that's three buildings. You hear a lot of, you know, this is the people's house. You know, it should be open. It should be inviting. No one should have to go through a metal detector to pay their taxes or their water bill or to apply for a license for a business. That's what I'm hearing from some people. But, you know, you walk through a metal detector to go get your marriage license or, you know, birth certificate. You know what I mean? So I'm not buying that. Again, this isn't the 1800s. It's not the 1900s. It's 2025 where people are getting killed in church. People are getting killed inside movie theaters. People are getting killed at concerts. If I've got to walk through a metal detector to go to Summerfest or State Fair, why not at City Hall? So back to the reckless driving thing. That passed Senate committee, and it's going to go to the full floor for a vote. I'm not sure when that's going to happen, but it's going to happen soon. And I'm confident that they're going to change the state law, which gives Milwaukee the ability to do what I want to do, is impound those vehicles. And some people say, well, what if it's their mom's car or their grandma's car? I don't care. Grandma or mom, you know, don't do that again. Don't let them use that vehicle again because they're reckless. They're irresponsible. So we talk about holding people accountable. People have to be reprogrammed to know that they're going to be held accountable based on their actions.
We've been talking with Alderman Lamont Westmoreland about growing up in Milwaukee, why he decided to go into politics and some of the problems in the city, as well as whether or not he's going to run for another office. Now, if you joined us late and you'd like to hear our entire conversation with Alderman Westmoreland, go to WTMJ.com and share today's show with your friends and family. You'll also find a partial transcript courtesy of eCourt Reporters. For WTMJ Conversations, I'm Libby Collins.